Stefan, and you're listening to Siren Radio on 107.3 FM.
And the weather, well, you heard it there, actually. Rain, heavy at times with gale or severe force winds. 11 degrees centigrade is the high, 3 degrees centigrade the low. Generally windy. I did like the line that came across that you'll know it if you're in a gale. I would have thought so. Basic sense organs, you sort of get that sort of general routine. It's one of those lines where the precision of the English language isn't being quite adhered to. Isn't that right? Ace party expert and etiquette person extraordinaire, Liz Brewer.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Liz. How are you? So,
very well indeed.
What's the weather like in deepest, darkest London at present?
Well, at least it's not raining and the wind hasn't started as yet, but it's just cold.
I
suppose so it should be.
It is December in
it's
the Northern
December.
Hemisphere.
Precisely. We've done quite well so far.
Exactly. It's all very important from that point of view. In the studio, a quartet of quality, as we say. Bit of alliteration, always important. We have Jodie Orton, who, of course, met up with your daughter Tallulah when...
Did
you?
Absolutely brilliant singer. I really loved
She's just been with me for 3 days and then back to Berlin.
No truth in the rumour that Tallulah decided that I've got no time to spend in England anymore now I've met Jodie, I'm off to Berlin. Two things aren't sorted in any way, shape or form. Jodie, of course, who was together with Natalie Tuck with us at the Siren Christmas party last night. Liz, and I was thinking about your good self, because obviously when last you spoke, I think you'd just been partying yourself, really.
Well, I had my own Christmas party last night. Not a huge one, but I had one in Conduit Street in London at a place called the East India Company. And I've been at a charity event, Caring for Courage, and sitting next to a very attractive young man who just bought this company. And I asked him what he was doing there, and he said, well, I've given an auction prize. And I said, what was it? He said, tea for 20. So I said, make it 60, throw in the cocktails and champagne, and I'll buy it. So he did, and I did. And last night, we had a wonderful evening.
And that's why we appreciate Liz Brewer. No messing about, bish, bash, bosh, sorted, you know? There's no vacillations with respect to Liz, as I say. She can work out all sorts of marvellous things from that point of view. So I take it went very well then, Liz.
It did, indeed. I mean, we had a variety of very colourful people, including Nancy Del Olio, who danced in and out. And then we went on for dinner, actually, with her and learned all about what was really going on.
Now, when you say all about what was really going on with Nancy Del Olio, I can't just let that slip by. And I'm sure, you know, wearing your investigative journalist hat, either Natalie or Natasha would actually say, whoa, just held it there, you know?
Yeah. it's a wonderful lesson in self-esteem. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Which is all great from that point of view.
Yeah.
So that's presumably why Sven hung around with her for so long, basically. It was building up his Swedish self-esteem. You know,
yeah, very feisty. Very feisty. Yeah. But, well, I'm not sure about his self-esteem, but...
Who is these days? But as Sven himself might well say, well, but still, different perspective there. So Nancy was actually there. Anybody else who dropped by?
Let me think. Philip Bulcock, who was the star of the original Jersey Boys, he was there. Lots of very colourful people. Quite a few sort of... Oh, but people who are on Ladette's Lady as judges, like Lady Henrietta Rouse, and sort of very various colourful characters. Looking colourful, I can tell you, yeah.
Very, very important. Curious enough, we were talking about Lad Actor Lady around about, 14 hours ago.
Oh, were you?
Yes, exactly, yesterday evening. When I raised that with yourself, Natalie, you thought, oh, yes, I can bond on this. Would you like to quiz Liz about Lad Actor Lady and more? Over to you, Natalie.
Hello, Natalie.
Hello, Liz.
Far away.
How did you get involved with Ladette to Lady? Why did you think it was so, I suppose, important?
I tell you how. I was approached by the original producer and original director, a guy called Roddy Williams. It's got to be now about seven, 8 years ago. And he had this idea of doing a programme based on the original sort of debutantes finishing schools. And I spent hours and hours and days talking to him about how, during that particular period, how things worked in this particular country. It really was a bit like an arranged marriage system. But I went through everything and how it worked, and he wanted to do it for badly behaved girls. and didn't know whether it was possible and how to teach them. When the actual program finally was commissioned by ITV, the idea I thought was I was going to go out to this wonderful place that used to be a finishing school, but was now really had been reopened for this particular series. I thought I was going to show them how to, you know, how to eat correctly, table manners, deportment, a bit of social behaviour. I had absolutely no idea what I was in for. None of us did. I didn't even know what a ladette was. In fact, a ladette didn't exist. It was a word invented by the producers as an equivalent to badly behaved lads. So this was an equivalent. So for me, it was in fact a complete learning process. And when the first series was made, we waited, believe it or not, over a year for it to be actually on screen because nobody thought it would work. And when it actually, when it came on, you can imagine the girls had moved on, some of them had got married, etc. And I'd forgotten that we'd done it. And then we watched it, and the very first program of the series had over 3 million viewers. And it just grew and grew. So it all came as a big surprise.
And you mentioned that it was a year later. Mm. Had the participants of the show, had they remained ladies or had some reverted back into their old ways?
Very good question, because there's always a couple in the very first week, usually, who are there. You feel they're just there because they want to be on television and they think they're going to have fun and they're going to beat the system. And usually they get filtered out and they get removed. The ones that last the entire course, which is usually 5 or 6 weeks, intensive, and it is run as a school from the moment they wake up in the morning to the moment they collapse exhausted. Those ones, yes, but and what happens is, and this for me was quite extraordinary to find out that in the very first series there was one girl that I had a bad time with, and she was a bad girl, and she wanted to kill me. She'd once, I called her a certain name, and she hadn't got a bottle smashed, and she was going to get me. She was expelled. Now, that in fact, was the third week. So a year and a half later, ITV made another program, which was called End of Term Report. And this was really a catch-up on some of the worst girls that we'd had. And I had to do a one-to-one with this particular girl called Claire, which I, you know, said I wasn't particularly keen on doing, but I had to because I'd signed a contract. So we did this, and this girl walked in with her parents and her boyfriend, and she came straight up and said, "Lisbrough, I have so much to thank you for." And I looked at her in amazement because she looked incredible. And I said, "You have? Why?" And she said, "Because you changed my life." And it didn't happen then. Apparently, it was about 6 weeks later, she woke up in bed and realized that, in fact, she was exactly as we had described her. And I won't mention the word on this national radio program, but
I'm
she was, and she realized that, Alex, and anyway, so she stopped drinking, she was getting married, she asked me to be guest of honor at her wedding, and since then she's had a family, two children, and she's invited me to, you know, the christenings, etc., and she's kept in touch, as have most of the girls, and usually it's the ones who've made a remarkable impression one way or the other, either because they're really, really bad, but they change. And in the Australian series, it was one of the girls there who ran away, in fact, and we sadly, because of that, she had to be also asked to leave. But she again went on to going back and going around schools and universities and actually giving talks on how she had gone into this program to expose it as, you know, television and a setup and scripted. And she explained, not only did we beat her, but she realized that the system worked. And if you ask me how it works and why it works and why suddenly halfway through these girls start to change, I don't really know. All I know is it happens. And it is indelible. What those girls through go through is with them for the rest of their lives. It's quite extraordinary.
I feel as though
Sorry, it's a bit long-winded.
I think we should be launching a Lisboa official sort of homily of the week in so many ways, really. That sort of change in scenarios. Natasha, any thoughts from yourself? Are you familiar with the programme? Or perhaps, you know, in your role in hospitality in Gloucester, which, of course, you now transfer us over to Lincoln as well, you might like to follow through on the ultimate guide to party planning and etiquette, which Liz Brewer is the creator of.
My new book.
Mm. Oh, well, I'm very much interested in that.
Mm. Well, it's what happened over 10 years ago. I wrote my first book, The Party Bible, and I realised, having reread it about 3 years ago, it was completely out of date to the extent that it was almost embarrassing. But it's a historical record of how things happened at that particular time, at the sort of end of the last century. And so I sat down, rewrote the book, and then realised I had to add chapters on social behaviour, modern-day manners, really, how things are done in the age we live in today, where we now have mobile phones, we have, you know, we email, we have computers. Go back 10 years, people didn't email, you know, they didn't text. It was a different world. So you had to address that, and also how people's lives have got faster and faster, and we do more. But the one thing I'm always sort of accentuating is the fact that even though we live faster lives, we still have to remember how to behave and how to say thank you, how to answer invitations, how to behave and how to give thought before taking action, which we don't do. I mean, I'm terrible. I open up as I'm sitting here in the moment, my screen, and I'm seeing the emails, and I'm quickly getting rid of them as quickly as I can, answering them, moving on. Whereas go back 10, 15 years, we used to receive a letter, we'd think about it, the following day we might do an answer, post it. There was a series of time which, you know, you had time to reflect on what you were doing. Now it's all instant. I'm not sure it's a good thing.
Interesting point, Liz. Little case in point for yourself. Case study, hypothetical, perhaps. Let's assume we're at a Christmas party for a radio station somewhere around. You actually get two folk who are actually there who are presented with mashed potatoes.
Right.
They don't like their mashed potato. You know,
it's on just, a plate, I'm presuming.
On a plate, exactly. Yes. Should they A, sort of say, what the heck is this? Are you trying to poison me? Should they hurl it back? What's the Lisboa advice?
No, what you do, you're a guest. Mm. Somebody's gone through, we hope, a lot of trouble to make certain that you are being looked after, you're being given a plate of food. And what you do is, if you've given something that you don't like, don't make a fuss, just ignore it, and if you want, you could spread it round your plate a bit, or just put it to one side. Put your knife and fork together and say nothing.
Well, I'm just thinking back to the days when I was little, and I used to hide mashed potato under my knife and fork when I'd finished, so that my parents wouldn't know that I hadn't eaten it.
Jody.
And did they bring it back for tea and dinner and make you?
Yes.
I had the same with semolina pudding. When I grew up, we had milk puddings, which I hated, and I would smear it around the plate. I'd do everything, and they used to bring it back. And it was awful. Actually, it wasn't them, it was my
Liz,
awful
it,
nanny.
It made you the multitasking phenomenon that you are today. Come to appreciate every sense of the word. Amy, any thoughts from yourself?
Well, I was actually just thinking, this is obviously going back to the beginning of when we started talking to you, but you were saying that you had a small Christmas party last night of 60.
Mm-hmm.
What would you class as a big Christmas, like,
gathering? 5,000? No, I suppose the biggest Christmas party. I did Dame Shirley Bassey's Christmas party, really as a belated celebration of her 70th. That was about 3 or 4 years ago now. And it was supposed to be for about 100 of our nearest and dearest friends. And it ended up in the end with 500, 600 people. And it got bigger and bigger. And it was done at a wonderful hotel down in the south called Taplow called Cliveden. And it used to be the home of the Astor family. Beautiful, beautiful, stately home. Well, in the end, we had the theme was diamonds and red. And in the end, we added on a fabulous marquee, which was all done in red and mirrors and sparkles and roses. And it was so wonderful and fabulous, fabulous people. Tallulah sang. She was the only person who sang. And the boys, Blake, brought the cake on. They won Classic Album of the Year, and they brought the birthday cake, and they just sang Happy Birthday. But I suppose that was one of the biggest private parties I've ever done.
That sounds like a challenge.
So 60 for me, I'm afraid, yes, so, it's small, yeah, but intimate.
Very good. Natasha, would you like to throw those last two questions at Liz Brewer at this particular stage, then?
Yeah, sure. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link this morning?
As always, I've had great time. I hope I didn't talk too much, but I've had a really good time. And I'm also sorry I'm croaking a bit. That was because I had too much fun last night.
And shall we look forward to hearing from you in the future?
I jolly well hope so. In fact, Alex, aren't you coming down to London?
I think we may well be connecting to in 14 hours, 24 hours from now.
Yes,
24,
that's 25 right.
Hours. All very exciting. Yes, exactly. We'll work our way through that. There's, as ever, an absolute delight. We're now going in the amazing, wonderful world of party planning and etiquette to actually feature the Zimmer Band, a Led Zeppelin tribute organisation.
Oh,
plus
wonderful.
Pink Floyd, etc. Plus, of course, Traverso and Ian Lennox still to be fitted in, squeezed in to the show for the moment. Don't forget, of course, LizBrewer.com is the go-to website to open up a whole range of things. The Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette is actually available and well worth getting. Just if you have questions, etc. The mashed potato thing, I think, being case in point, really. How do you actually cope with that, I think, as well? Although, is there a section on mashed potato in the Ultimate Guide?
No, there is a section on what you do if you don't like what's been given to you. And
spitting it out saying, you swines, you're trying to poison me,
is not
an option.
Idea.
No, exactly. Just wanted to clarify that.